I expect anybody doing business with the United States government to be transparent and to give the taxpayers a good return on their money. That's what I expect. And if anybody's overcharging the government, we expect them to repay that money.
President Bush yesterday at the White House announcing he expects a subsidiary of the Halliburton Company to repay $61 million if it overcharged the Pentagon. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
Now, the company we're talking about is, did I say good morning? I beg your pardon. Good morning, Dan.
No, you did say good morning, but I'm glad for two good mornings.
All right, thank you. Well, then good morning again. We'll give you a third.
Okay.
Company we're talking about, of course, is Halliburton, Vice President Cheney's old employer, though, of course, his assets are now in a blind trust while he's in the government.
I don't know if you can say employer when the man is a CEO. He was the head of
head of the company. All right, I beg your pardon. The subsidiary gathers Kellogg, Brown & Root. It's been accused of overcharging the Department of Defense for gasoline it delivered in Iraq. Does the statement from President Bush we just heard distance the administration from Halliburton?
Well, I don't know what you mean by distance. Halliburton has some $5 billion in contracts, no bid contracts. No bid means higher cost to the American taxpayer, whom President Bush says he's trying to protect. Mm-hmm. Halliburton does everything from putting out oil fires to feeding the American troops. Did you know that? And American troops there are being fed, and there have been complaints about messy mess halls. When the administration contracts out vital functions like feeding troops, you have to wonder whether next they'll be asking soldiers to join HMOs to get their medical care or something. You may not have noticed how this war is being privatized, and it gives a whole new meaning to private first class.
Pentagon has barred countries who did not participate, did not send troops during the war in Iraq from bidding on Iraq reconstruction contracts. President Bush defends the ban. On Monday, he's dispatching former Secretary of State James Baker to some of those countries to try and seek debt relief for Iraq and the reconstruction of Iraq. Is the timing of both Mr. Baker's departure and this announcement coincidental?
Well, first of all, why Jim Baker? It's like another example of outsourcing. They have a perfectly good incumbent Secretary of State named Colin Powell, and yet they seem to have to go outside to get somebody else to do it. Now, it is very interesting that he's going to try to get debt relief from France, Germany, Russia, so on and so forth, and that he's going to try just after there's been this announcement that sounds as though they're scorning all our allies. It looks as though there's some evil gremlin in the White House that concocts ways of making this administration look foolish. I mean, to say all these things about you don't support us and all the rest of it, and then say, hold on a minute, we need your help still on debt relief, or otherwise there's too much money for left for Americans to say. It is sometimes kind of incredible. But, you know, let's look at Iraq itself. There's been more violence there. The U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer says things may get worse before they get better. The Washington Post is reporting that half of the 900 Iraqis who were recruited for a new Iraqi army have already quit. They were being trained by Australian-led civilians. The reason I'm laughing is that they're still more privatizing.
Let me ask you to turn your attention to Afghanistan. A tribal constitutional convention will convene on Sunday after a couple of delays. Of course, this week, American U.S. raids on reported outposts of the Taliban and al-Qaeda have, in the process of those raids, 15 Afghan children were killed in little more than a week. How do you see the charge of the Loya Jirga as it meets this convention to write the Constitution, begin a new government, and how is it affected by the state of the war there now?
Well, there's a crucial moment here with the Loya Jirga, because the reason it had to be postponed a couple of days was that there were reports of vote-buying, intimidation, and wrangling, and about how much power President Karzai should have. So already, even before they started in democracy business, they're getting into some of the problems of Western democracy. And I think it's very important, because if they don't succeed in getting together and finding a way of establishing a constitution and some more or less permanent government, they are back with where Iraq is, that the United States can't pull its troops out as long as it doesn't know what kind of thing it's leaving them to.
Egyptian-brokered ceasefire negotiations among Palestinian factions broke down this week. Secretary of State Powell has turned his attention, we're told now, toward the unofficial plan that was brokered by former Israeli and Palestinian officials in Geneva. What does this do for the administration's roadmap?
Yeah, well, what Powell says is that the roadmap has primacy as far as the administration is concerned. But he also suggests that the Geneva Accord, or the Geneva whatever you want to call it, could help to pave the way to the roadmap. It's interesting now that President Bush, who usually goes very easy on Israel and Prime Minister Sharon, yesterday admonished Sharon to avoid measures that could block a Palestinian state. I think that refers to the fence that the Israelis are building, which in some places encroaches on Palestinian land, and which the administration has decided now to make an issue of.
Let me get you to turn to domestic affairs and this campaign, which certainly presidential campaign, which seems to move into a new state of attention and public heat this week. First, the U.S. Supreme Court this week upheld most of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reforms.
Yes.
What do you foresee that might mean for the 2004 elections?
Well, I don't know if it has any direct effect on one candidate or another candidate. To put the decision in its simplest form, the Supreme Court simply says that you don't have any constitutional right to corrupt the election process by something called, excuse me, soft money. Mm-hmm. But as the majority also points out, water will always find an outlet. So until we see what the impact is of the Supreme Court decision, and there may be further legislation introduced to spell it out, I cannot at this moment see any direct effect on the election.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, former Vice President Al Gore endorsed former Vermont Governor Howard Dean this week for the Democratic presidential nomination. This is being widely read as a step up, of course, for former Governor Dean. How do you assess it?
Yeah, first of all, I just brought here to show you, because I think it's so funny to look at it now, the conservative organ National Review has a picture of Howard Dean on the cover with his mouth open, which it usually is, and it was a big, big headline, "Please nominate this man, Richard Lowry, on Howard Dean." I do not know whether after the Gore endorsement, whether the conservatives are still saying with such surety, nominate this guy, we can take him on, he'll be the easiest person to beat. The Gore endorsement is interesting from several points of view. First of all, what you have now is the outsider Dean has the blessing of the insider, and means that you have to accept him as being important to the Democratic Party. He's not just an insurgent who gets up and shoots his mouth off. It's interesting that the poll of members of the Democratic National Committee gave Dean support of 32% of them, which is twice as much as his nearest rival. Mm-hmm. So the effect of all of this is to change the dynamic of the Democratic race. It is no longer simply nine of them contending one against each other. There really is one who has come from outside, gotten some support from inside, and I think that it's going to be only a question of whether or not they can beat Dean at this point.
And the money is big, right?
And yes.
Okay, thanks very much, Dan Shore.